On today's episode of 23 is the Mic, we recap a fantastic weekend in sports, college football, boxing, the NFL, and the MLB all come together to give us a spectacle of what October looks like in the sporting world. Let's get right into it. What's going on, everybody? Welcome into 23 is the Mic. I'm your host, Nadim. You can find us at 23 is the Mic on Instagram and subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, what have you. It's always nice to do one of them intros. Never get quite used to it enough to completely run through it smoothly, but you know how it is. It's Tuesday, October 12th. The White Sox are currently playing the Astros. I am 100% rooting for the Astros, for the record. And they are up right now 2-1 against the White Sox in game 4 winner. If the Astros win, they win the series. If the White Sox win, game 5 will be in Houston. Last night, the Boston Red Sox clinched the ALDS and punched their ticket to the ALCS with a 6-5 win over the Tampa Bay Rays on a walk-off sacrifice fly. The Red Sox had back-to-back walk-off wins in that series, and they beat the one seed, basically, in the AL, which was quite surprising the way that they were kind of dominating their team without, you know, really possessing much of a talented roster, you know, not many big names on their team as well. The Giants went up 2-1 against the Dodgers yesterday on an Evan Longoria home run off Max Scherzer. Game 4, I believe, is tonight, where the Giants will look to close out that series. And the Braves are up 2-1 on the Brewers, and game 4 will be tomorrow. So the baseball playoffs are in full swing. No Cubbies this year, so real lack of interest on my end. But Chris Bryant is on the Giants, and I'm hoping that he meets Kyle Schwarber in the World Series. The Giants and Red Sox World Series would be quite fun. This weekend, we had a lot of crazy things happen. We want to lead off today, though, with the big news out of Las Vegas. John Gruden resigning as the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders after reports of these leaked emails. It started off with a Wall Street Journal report that he used racially insensitive language when he described the executive director of the Players Association, DeMaurice Smith. And then on Monday, the New York Times reported that they reviewed more emails where Gruden was found to be denouncing women, denouncing employees that were women in the football space, a team drafting an openly gay player, and the tolerance for the national anthem protests, the kneel downs, the Colin Kaepernick situation, what have you. Now, these emails were said to be basically covering a 7-year period between 2011 and 2018. He was at the time said to be working for ESPN, doing the Monday Night Football coverage, doing the Gruden's camp coverage. And it seems as though, and we'll jump right into the weekend that was, because a lot of this had ramifications for Sunday's game against the Bears. And you know, it's hard to do that when you see this stuff come out about your own head coach as a black player, as a gay player, as the only openly gay player in the NFL right now. Carl Nassib plays for the Raiders. You might, you know, see how those kind of things can get awkward in the locker room. But outside of that, I mean, it's interesting because we always talk about how the Raiders always get off to hot starts. Derek Carr always gets off to hot starts, and then something happens, and then they, you know, their season gets derailed, and we're seeing that exactly here. We've been saying that from the get-go. They started off, what was it, 4-0, I believe, and then have had two losses since starting out 3-0, apologies. And the Chargers last Monday night, and the Bears, and then you have Gruden resigning. They're paying him his contract was ten years, $100 million, $10 million a year. So you can only imagine how this is kind of all just blown up in the Raiders' face, unfortunately. Now, before we get into how this impacted them on Sunday, I want to talk about Saturday, because Saturday was one of the most wild games, one of the most wild days I've seen in college football. Now, OU Texas, the biggest rivalry in college football, obviously, you know that you're expecting that to pop off. But we had the number one seed Alabama Crimson Tide get upset by Texas A&M. Now, this game was back and forth as you like. Actually, Texas A&M held a 24-10 lead late in the fourth quarter, or late in the third quarter. Alabama came roaring back, and they tied the game. And they took the lead, actually, 38-31. It looked like the Texas A&M QB had actually taken a shot to his knee that would have knocked him out. But he stood in there, and he ended up throwing a touchdown pass to tie the game. Alabama was stopped on their next possession, and A&M scored a field goal. And that's all she wrote. And, you know, that's huge for the college football landscape, the college football playoff. It snaps Alabama's 19-game unbeaten streak. It's really just an earthquake in the college football world. You see, Alabama is every single year basically propped up as the perennial, you know, winner of the college football playoff, you know, even before the season gets started. This year, they got Bryce Young as their quarterback, who ended up becoming the Heisman favorite, and they almost lost against Florida, and they got taken out by an A&M team that wasn't even ranked, which was crazy. The 41-38, that final. We also had the Iowa and PSU game. It was a battle of number 3 versus number 4. Number 3 Iowa prevailed, winning 23-20. And they jump up to number 2 with the loss to Alabama. Of course, Georgia looking like the best team in the country right now. An amazing defense they have, vaults number 1. Cincy, after their win against Notre Dame last week, they beat Temple, I believe, this week. Just trounced them. They improved to number 3 in the rankings. And that's huge because they're a non-Power 5 team. And they're maybe the first non-Power 5 team to get into the college football playoff. The rest of their schedule is very easy. They've already gotten through the grunt of their schedule, the best teams. Now they don't really play anybody the rest of the way. So they should be able to get in, barring any catastrophic college football controversy when it comes to, you know, not including a Power 5 team. However, there is one team. There is that team from Norman, Oklahoma. OU Texas, let's get into this game. All right, so I turn on this game. I watch this game religiously every single year. I was at the Cotton Bowl at the State Fair in Dallas in 2019, taking this game in. I wanted to go this year. Unfortunately, didn't get the opportunity. But Spencer Rattler, let's talk about Spencer Rattler real quick. Spencer Rattler came into this season as the Heisman favorite. He came into this season as one of the favorites to go number 1 overall in next year's draft. And he could not have fallen from grace more than he has. This year, OU has had the two lowest scoring outcomes from their offense in Lincoln Riley's head coaching era. That dates back to 2017. They went 16-13 against West Virginia. And then even the next week, or against Nebraska as well, they had 23 points. And then the week later, they had 16 points. And they haven't done that in Lincoln Riley's four-year career here. I believe it's 4 years. This would be the fifth year. Yeah. Because he's had Baker, Kyler, Jalen, 1 year Spence, and then this is the second year Spence. And there's a lot of fans clamoring that there's a lot of we want Caleb chance. Now Caleb Williams, introduce him into this picture. A true freshman from Washington, D.C. He is Lamar Jackson-esque. He is Jalen Hurts-esque. He runs the ball like crazy. And he's got a lot of Lamar. He's very elusive, very shifty, very mobile, but he's built like Jalen Hurts. So imagine Lamar Jackson and Jalen Hurts' body. He has not played football in 2 years. Last year with COVID, the high school season was canceled, and he was a senior that year. He's a true freshman this year. He hasn't played football in 2 years. Now, he has played this year a couple times. I think he played in week one. If I'm not mistaken, he rushed for a touchdown at the goal line, and then in Kansas State, and then he played a lot against Western Carolina, and then Kansas State last week, he fumbled a snap near the goal line, and he threw a pass. So, Texas just completely jumps on Oklahoma in this game at the start. The first play from scrimmage a 75-yard touchdown to James Worthy, true freshman, or Xavier Worthy, true freshman, from Texas wide receiver. The quarterback, Caleb Thompson, he for Texas, his brother and his dad both played at Oklahoma. So interesting storyline there. The Sooners punt. Their punt gets blocked on their first possession. Texas grabs it at like the Sooners' 5-yard line, and Bijan Robinson, who's a tank. Bijan Robinson is the next coming of Reggie Bush. He is explosive. He runs in for a score. Texas is up 14-0. They end the quarter up 28-7. Now, the first play of the fourth quarter, it's 4th-and-1 around inside Sooners territory. Caleb Williams comes in for Spencer Rattler on the 4th-and-1 because they want to do one of them design quarterback runs or one of the read options or what have you. He runs 66 yards on this play at the start of the second quarter for a touchdown. Electrifying stuff from this true freshman, Caleb Williams. And then Spencer Rattler throws an interception in the first quarter, and then in the second quarter, he fumbles the football, gets benched. Lincoln Riley pulls the trigger. Last year, he did the same thing in the Red River Showdown. He replaced him with Tanner Mordecai. Mordecai didn't play that great. Spencer came in the second half, and they won 4 overtimes. This year, he gets benched, and it had a different feeling this year because it was like, Spencer, we've given you the keys to this kingdom, and you've done nothing to show that you deserve it. Spencer gets benched. Caleb comes in and lights it up. 212 passing yards in around 2.5 quarters of football. 2 touchdowns through the air. 88 rushing yards. That big long touchdown there. The greatest. This to me was the greatest comeback that I've seen the Oklahoma Sooners win. They end up winning this game in a back and forth shootout. Exactly what you expect from OU Texas, 55-48. This offense, though, looks rejuvenated with Caleb Williams at the helm. And the touchdown to Mims, oh my goodness, how insane was that? I'll put it right here. I mean, just pure. It's just Houdini with the football. Marvin Mims is able to get open. He's small, but he's able to make catches. His hands are incredible. He stays in bounds. What a player. And the Oklahoma Sooners are now ranked 4th going into TCU. Texas was the big one to me. Oklahoma State's also ranked high, so we'll also have Bedlam to look forward to, but man, what a player. What a game that was. The game of the weekend for me. And Oklahoma is now ranked 4th. They have a ticket to the college football playoff. They just have to keep hold on that ticket. Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder, the big boxing heavyweight bout that we were all looking forward to. It was a great fight. I don't know how Deontay Wilder stayed on his feet for so long. I'm not really a big boxing guy. I watch it when the big fights come on, so I'm not going to spend too much time on this. But Tyson Fury ends up knocking out Deontay Wilder in the 11th round to retain his title. That's Deontay Wilder's 3rd non-win against Tyson Fury in the 3 bouts that they've had. Now, moving on to the NFL, we'll go right into it. So, John Gruden he resigned from his position yesterday, but this news came out. The Washington Post came out about the report with DeMurray Smith on Friday. So the players kind of knew about this during Sunday's game, and I just can't help but feel that that had something to do with their performance. This game was pretty boring. There wasn't a lot that the Bears did well. I would say there wasn't. I mean, 20-9 final. Justin Fields had 111 passing yards. They had more rushing yards than they had passing yards. They had 143 rushing yards between Khalil Herbert and Damian Williams. The defense did a great job. The defense held the Raiders' offense completely in check. But again, like the psyche, I just can't. I kind of just want to throw this game away. Because with everything going on, how did the Raiders even play for a coach that, you know, just said all that stuff? Racism, homophobia, misogyny. All on that team right now. You have a gay player on that team. You have a bunch of black players on that team. You know, just like completely stopping progression. And who knows like what kind of impact that had on their mental during this game. Like, did they even want to play for him? You know, Derek Carr only had 188 passing yards. He looked terrible. He got injured in this game. Nathan Peterman came in. They only had 71 rushing yards on the ground. They didn't look great. They had two of their offensive tackles out of this game. The Bears do win 20-9. There isn't much again. There's a game against the Packers next week. We'll preview that on Thursday or Friday's show. But again, there's not much I can take away and be confident about in this game because there wasn't much that the Bears did right. And there was a lot that the Raiders in their front office did wrong. There is one thing I do want to talk about, though. And this might be controversial. This probably will be controversial. And I want your thoughts on it. I'll do a poll on Instagram. But what do we think about Allen Robinson? Because clearly, it's so clear that Darnell Mooney is Justin Fields' favorite target. And over the past couple games, this season really, Allen Robinson has been complaining a lot in the offseason that he didn't get a contract. And he is looking for something in the 17 mil range. But what has he shown to be worth of that? Do you think Allen Robinson is worth paying that money to? I know a lot of Bears fans love Allen Robinson, but if you actually look at the tape, you look at the film, you look at what he's done this season especially, there's a lot of drops. There's a lot of contested balls that he doesn't catch against, dare I say, meaty corners. And I feel like a receiver of his quote-unquote potential caliber, his quote-unquote self-proclaimed standing, should be making those plays. A $17 million receiver at the top of the free agent market should be making plays like that, should be leading your team in receptions, should be leading your team in yardage, targets. And it just doesn't seem like he's that guy. He doesn't seem like he's that receiver. You see receivers like DeAndre. You see receivers like Devontae. You see receivers like Julio. Even DK Terry, AJ Brown, that caliber. Cooper Kupp, Adam Thielen, Justin Jefferson, Calvin Ridley, Tyreek Stephon. Like, nothing close to that. And, even Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen's your reliable security blanket. He's not going to give you a bunch of yards, but you know for a fact that he's going to make the catches for you. And what is A-Rob? What type of receiver is he? So let me know what you guys think about A-Rob specifically. Let's move on to other things that happened in the week. The game of the week for me was the Chargers and the Browns, 47-42 Chargers. This was as back and forth as OU Texas as a football game can get. The Chargers with the win. Justin Herbert had 398 yards, 4 touchdowns. Mike Williams had 165 yards, 2 touchdowns. 2 touchdowns that he was wide open on. This Browns defense was abysmal yesterday. Baker Mayfield had a great day, 305 yards of the year, 2 touchdowns. Nick Chubb had 161 rushing yards and a touchdown, and Kareem Hunt added 2 touchdowns. There was over 1,000 yards of offense in this game. Baker coming out with a loss. Unfortunately, it did seem like the Browns took the ball out of his hands when they needed to, you know, get the first down most. The Browns are up. They're up 42-41. Oh, so this is what actually ended up happening was it was back and forth the whole game. The Browns were up 2 touchdowns. The Chargers came back. They tied the game at 35. The Browns score a touchdown to go up 42-35. The Chargers also score a touchdown. There's like 3 minutes left in this game. And then they missed the extra point. Now, the Chargers' offense is humming on all cylinders. The offensive line looks great. Justin Herbert looks great. Austin Eckler looks great. Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, maybe the best receiving tandem in the league right now. So they were just scoring left and right. I mean, Brandon Staley was going it on 4th and 7s in their own territory. They were doing what they had to do. They were winning this game, just beating up on this defense. And the big turning point was the missed extra point, which required the Browns to get a first down, win the game. The Browns had a chance. They run the ball on 3rd and 9, and that kind of gives the notion that they had to punt the ball back to the Chargers, and the Chargers rush down the field, score a touchdown, and with 1:15 left, and here's the big knock on Baker, unfortunately. With 1:15 left, you have to do better than get, what was it, 20 yards or 12 yards. Like, it was 2 first downs that they got, and they needed to get in field goal range. They needed to get on the other side of the field. It was basically a 7-yard pass, two checkdowns, and then they started throwing Hail Marys, and that's not going to get the job done. That was a really poor 2-minute offense by the Cleveland Browns, especially when they needed to get down the field and win, score a touchdown to win the game. The performance of the week was in the Ravens and Colts game from last night, actually. It was an overtime game, thrilling game. The Ravens were down 22-3, came back and won this game 31-25. Lamar Jackson went off after an abysmal first half. He had 442 yards, 4 touchdowns, and 62 rushing yards. And he scored all his points basically in the second half. He fumbled at the goal line. He should have had a touchdown. Could have won me money, but you know how it is. Carson Wentz, I do want to say, I don't want people to overlook this because Carson Wentz had 405 yards against this Ravens defense that a lot of people still, you know, it's a Ravens defense. 2 touchdowns, and he looked great. He drove the ball down the field when they needed to, and he looked good. He really did look good. I was very surprised. The hate for Carson Wentz, there is none there because he didn't lose this game for his team. He drove them down the field every single time they needed a score. Then the kicker missed kicks. I mean, it is what it is. We had a bunch of missed kicks this weekend going to the Packers and Bengals game. The Packers win 25-22 in overtime. There were 5 missed kicks in an 8-minute stretch through the end of the fourth quarter and through overtime. Mason Crosby had 3 of them. And Evan McPherson had 2, including a 49-yarder, which he thought he made, which was actually kind of funny. Elsewhere, the Buffalo Bills beat the Kansas City Chiefs. The Kansas City Chiefs look abysmal. Josh Allen had 315 yards, 3 touchdowns, and a rushing touchdown, and 59 rushing yards. Mahomes had 272 yards, but he has 6 interceptions now on the year, which is so not Mahomes-like. You know, the Kansas City Chiefs are dropping a lot of balls. They're not looking great. Their defense looks terrible. Their defense got torched on the ground. The Bills had 120 rushing yards. And the Chiefs are now 2-3 at the bottom of the AFC West. Who would have thought? This is so interesting that the way that Alabama and the Kansas City Chiefs have both kind of just been not as good this year as we thought. I do expect the Chiefs to turn it around. And again, this is one of those games, the regular season. I don't put much stock into it, but the Bills look great. The Bills do look great. And to me, they're the second best team in the league right now behind the Arizona Cardinals, who went 5-0, winning 17-10 in a division game that it was so kind of ugly. You kind of just had to win it. Trey Lance, man, he did not look good. But the San Fran defense, credit to them because they held Kyler Murray in check for most of the game. It was a late touchdown to DeAndre Hopkins that ended up being the difference in this one. But Kyler Murray only had, in his MVP season so far, only had 239 yards through the air and a touchdown and didn't do much on the ground either. He only had a 1 yard rushing. But Trey Lance, he looked okay in his NFL debut or his first career start, you would say. Nothing too crazy. He had 186 yards, a lot of missed throws. It does seem like there is a project with Trey Lance. He also had an interception. It's nice to see Kyler have a clean game, though. He's been throwing a lot of picks this year. It's nice to see the development of his arm, but also against such a good team in the San Francisco 49ers, he was able to kind of tighten up and win and be efficient with the football and be safe and make the correct, accurate throws. Elsewhere in the league, what can you say about this man, Tom Brady? My goodness, 411 yards, 5 touchdowns against his former coach, Brian Flores, who many thought would actually have a chance in this game with the Dolphins. I actually was thinking I might pick the Dolphins to win. I couldn't do it. I couldn't pull the trigger. And Tom Brady showed me exactly why. He is aging like fine wine. He is incredible, the things that he's doing. Mike Evans had 2 touchdowns in this. Antonio Brown had 2 touchdowns. What a guy. Another team that's actually on the rise, doing very exceeding expectations, and is probably going to win their division, the Dallas Cowboys. Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys destroyed the New York Giants 44-20. Not only did he'd throw for 300 yards and three touchdowns. But Zeke had 110 yards. He looked great. CeeDee Lamb had 84 yards and a touchdown. Amari Cooper had 60 yards and a touchdown. Big story from this one, though. Saquon Barkley injures his ankle on a fluke play. It's just one of those plays that it's at the end of the play. The guys are kind of walking around and somebody steps on him. He awkwardly stepped on somebody just like walking by him. And it messed up his ankle badly. It was swelling like crazy. And he looks to be done for about the next month with a low ankle sprain. Devontae Booker looked decent in his replacement. Probably a fantasy waiver ad. But Kadarius Toney, oh my goodness, what a game for the rookie. 10 catches, 189 yards. He looked insane. The cuts that he was making, the shiftiness, the things that he was doing on that field. He punched a guy after and got ejected. What a first game for him. And with that receiving core banged up, it's looking like the production is going to keep coming. But for the Giants, Daniel Jones also suffered a concussion and Mike Glennon had to come in. And yeah, it doesn't look good if you're a New York Football Giants fan, but you know, we move on next week's slate. It is the Nedim Bowl, the Arizona Cardinals and the Cleveland Browns. Baker versus Kyler, my two favorite quarterbacks going at each other. We'll see how that goes. But yes, our player of the week this week is Lamar Jackson. What a game. I can't emphasize enough how much better he looked in that second half and how he turned it around and beat the Colts. And watch out tomorrow. We have quarterback rankings that are going to be dropping. And let's see right now. Oh, wow. 5-1 Houston Astros are on top. What did I miss? It was just 2-1. And now it is 5-1. Jeez. Yeah, Bregman with a 2-run double just now. That really hurts the White Sox chances of coming back into this one, unfortunately. But, you know, I really did feel like when the game got pushed back a day, I felt like that really hurt the White Sox. Like, that really gave Houston an edge. The crowd on Sunday night, I have to admit, hand up, even as a Cubs fan, that crowd looked amazing. You could feel the energy and intensity that really went into the White Sox winning that game 9-6. And they were getting ready to do it last night as well. But then the game got moved because of the rain. It got postponed. And I feel like it's having a huge effect. And it did have a huge advantage. Or it did give a huge advantage to the Astros. Because I'm feeling that effect lingering as to the crowd not being as electric as it was. The energy not being as inflating for the White Sox as it was yesterday. But 5-1, it's the middle of the fourth inning, so we will see how this goes. And appreciate you guys so much for listening. At 23's the Mike on Instagram, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify. I'm at NadeemN22 on Instagram as well. We will see you on next episode's show. Oh, also, quarterback rankings tomorrow. Be sure to tune into that. We'll review them on next episode's on the next show. Jeez. On the next episode, we will be reviewing quarterback rankings. We will be previewing the Bears and Packers at Soldier Field. The Bears riding a 2-game win streak with Justin Fields at the helm. Let's see how that goes into Green Bay. They got injuries. They're not the same complete team, but we'll see. And we'll preview the rest of the matchups in NFL's Week 6. Appreciate you guys so much for listening. This is 23's The Mike. Love you guys.